For this episode, we have San Yi. He is a personal branding expert and founder of Night Owls, an award-winning digital agency behind top creators like Mel Robbins, Jay Shetty, with over 20 years of branding experience. San has helped brands grow from zero to $1 billion in revenue. He's passionate about teaching storytelling with over 25,000 students in his Domestika courses. In 2022, he started Night Owl Nation, a global community practicing storytelling together. And that's how I met San Yi, through the Night Owl Nation. Welcome, San. Great to have you here.
Hi, Monica. Thanks for having me.
For a lot of people who don't know you and don't know about your work, do you have, I don't know, like an under minute intro or like a little bit about you that you share when you're invited to podcast?
Yeah. So I guess I used to consider myself a web designer most of my life. So I started my career at making websites, and then I eventually, that turned into freelancing. And then I started my own agency and we started working with clients. And throughout there, I've done a lot of different things. Like I started out in design, and I learned coding, and I learned photography, filmmaking. I learned copywriting. I went to film school. So I had a lot of pivots throughout in different areas. But ultimately, what I realized at the end is, you know how people are always telling you to find your niche? Ultimately, what I realized is, even though I was practicing all different skills, I was using all of it towards like storytelling. Right? But even if I'm doing filmmaking, even if I'm making a website, like I'm writing a story, right? And things like that. And even visually, like with design or photography or something like that. So like in 2020, right when the pandemic started around that time, I've been thinking about like building my own personal brand for a while, because we started working with some big personal brands. And my big thing is, I think personal brand is going to be the future of branding. That's 100% what I believe. So I knew that at some point I was going to start working on my personal brand. But at some point, like I was too busy. But when pandemic happened, I just started like throwing some of my Zoom clips onto Instagram. And that's how I started growing Instagram. And then everybody started asking me to teach them storytelling. It's like, son, like, you're such a great storyteller. By the way, at this time, I didn't even think of myself as a storyteller. Storytelling didn't even cross my mind. I just thought of myself as a marketer, like brand strategist, marketer, like copywriter, things like that. But then people kept asking me to teach them storytelling. Domestika asked me to create a storytelling course, which now has like over 20,000, 25,000 students. And what ended up happening is that's what people asked from me. So then that's why I started Night Owl Nation. I eventually realized that everything that I've been doing so was all pointing towards storytelling. So that's like my thing now.
And I think this quote that I remember you said, like, you are a solution looking for a problem. And right, I don't know if you remember, like I saw it before and I like noted down. And is that like you, is that the problem that you feel you are trying to solve for people, like learning storytelling? Like when you are a solution looking for a problem, what problem did you come across? Did you see like people were just horrible storytellers? What was the problem that you came across that you felt, you know, like I want to help people?
Yeah, maybe those two things are related. Like I'm always very interested in how things work. Like when I was young, I don't know if I told you, but I used to always break open a radio. Like when I was young, I thought if I open a radio, there's going to be like a little tiny, I don't know, maybe little tiny men working inside, or I don't know, something like that. I'm going to be able to see what's going on inside and how this thing works. I used to break a lot of things like that. And I don't know, because I guess I'm always curious how things work. That's why I said I'm a solution in search of I want to know a problem so I can open it up, see how it works so I can solve it or something like that. And you're right. Like I feel like that's the number one thing right now. You know what I see? I see a lot of like mediocre products or services have success because they just know how to communicate. They know how to tell stories. And on the flip side, I see a lot of talented creatives fail, good products, good services and things like that fail just because they don't know how to sell it. They don't know how to communicate or tell stories, right? So at the end of the day, as humans, that's what kind of what makes us special, our ability to communicate with each other, complex ideas and things like that. And yeah, that's what I noticed. Like most of my, like when you talk to most people, most web designers and things like that, they don't really look at content. They don't really think about how the user like perceives content. Most web designers don't even read the copy. They don't, they just want to make something pretty or something like that. So
with storytelling, and I'm also very interested as a storytelling, as somebody who is now like managing. So I started working with this entrepreneur and I still like, Son, do you remember like we were having dinner in Austin and you were talking about how, Monica, maybe you could be like the best number two. You just need to find the right number one to like just be like, and what you said was like, oh, I never thought about that. And sure enough, I think like maybe a few weeks after that dinner we had, I found this person that like, I really like this person. I want to help him. I want to work with him. And since like last summer, I started working with this entrepreneur and I'm sort of managing some of his like websites and different personal projects that are like not core products of, because he has a business, but I'm still like learning those lessons, the storytelling lessons that you had. And my question is for the audience who, like, we know, yeah, telling a story, but when we focus on personal brands and people, whether it's a coach or somebody who is, I don't know, selling a book or a podcast, or what have you noticed is like the best way to approach that from zero? Ask yourself this, or do you have some kind of formula? Or yeah, if you had to re-educate somebody, how do you re-educate somebody? Well, and you have 20 minutes.
First of all, I don't think personal brand is just for people that are like public figures anymore. It's not going to be anymore in the future. Like I truly believe that like in the future, everyone's going to be a public figure. It already is that right now, right? To a certain degree. Like I can look up pretty much anybody and research anybody online, right? You don't have to be a famous person. I can research like my employees online, right? And look at their social media and stuff like that. So at the end of the day, I think everyone's a public figure already. Here's a good example. Like Elon Musk is not an author. He doesn't like have a podcast, or he's not a media person at all. But he probably has one of the biggest personal brands in the world, right? Like he is the reason why, you know, like without him, like Tesla, like all of his brands would not be where it is without him, right? It's built into the brand. And same thing with Richard Branson, Steve Jobs, even like Kylie Jenner. So, I mean, Kylie Jenner is a public figure, but what I'm trying to say is I see all business going towards that. Like meaning, I think when you see like The Rock or Mr. Beast, like Mr. Beast with Feastables and Mr. Rock or The Rock with like his tequila, I forgot what his tequila brand is. But the reason why they're doing that is because like these influencers over here, I think they're starting to realize like with FTX, with like on YouTube, there's this company called Established Titles or something like that. Where there are some brands where they're doing a lot of these affiliate programs on YouTube, like doing sponsorships from influencers. But then they're like scammy products. They're not good product. Like FTX obviously is not. So what happens is it ruins the brand. Like it ruins the influencer's brand because I'm promoting this product, which turns out to be a scam. Then everybody's, oh, like this guy pushed it. And they have zero control over the product. I have no idea what if this is a good product or not. So influencers are starting to, first of all, start their own product line, Feastables or something like that, Beast Burgers, whatever. On the other hand, CEOs like Elon Musk, like Gary Vee, these people are starting to actually build their own personal brand. So from both sides, it's merging. And eventually, I think it's going to get to a point where, and the reason why, before I answer your question, let me give you the background. The reason why it's happening is because I always say we just always have to look at like our human anatomy, like our genes, right? Our natural state as our human body and how we are. And we're not going to go that far away from it. And so you can predict what's going to happen just by looking at natural human tendencies. For example, humans, we're extremely good at accurately throwing something to a target, like a ball to a target, or like a spear to a target, or like bow and arrow to a target. That's like innately something that we, like humans desire, what we naturally want to do.
Interesting.
and we enjoy doing it, and we're good at it. And the reason why is because, go back to hunters and gatherers time.
Yeah.
That's how we hunted, right? We got better at it. And because we were so good at it, we survive and we thrive, right? And then we started using it when we became, now, after hunters and gatherers, we started having settlements and we started creating communities. Now we went to war and we used that same skill to fight each other. And now fast forward to modern era, like now in the modern warfare or like modern age, there's zero need for any human being to know how to throw something accurately into a target. That is just not needed for survival at all right now, right? But we still do it, right? Because it's an innate human, it's in our genes. So because as a child, so we start throwing
never
stuff
thought of it
and
that
we start,
way.
Yeah, we start taking basketballs and throwing into a hoop or kicking a ball into the goal, right? And we turn, and then because of that, we figure out a way to, because we love doing it so much and we enjoy watching it so much, it's so entertaining, that we turned it into a business called sports, NFL, NBA, Olympics, ESPN. We formed an entire industry out of it, right? Mm-hmm. And and the reason why I bring that up is because that's the limitations of humans are not logical. If we were logical, we wouldn't play sports.
So interesting, yeah.
So what I'm trying to say is with personal brand, I think the reason why that's happening is because they said average human can form relationships. Average brain has the ability to form relationship with 150 people, right? Meaning, obviously, that 150 people changes. Like if you get 50 new people, but if you make 50 new friends, you're going to lose 50 friends. Like we can only care for about 150 people. That's like our max capacity of our brain. And when I say care for, how they would define that is if you walked into a restaurant and this person said hi to you, you will actually go join them and sit with them. So that's the level of relationship I'm talking about, right? So that level of relationship with somebody, you can only have 150 of those. Okay, that's our brain can handle. Now, and the reason why is because on average, that's 150 was like about the number of a town, like a people live in a town in the old days before cities, right? So this is how we lived for hundreds of thousands of years, or tens of thousands of years at least, right? In these towns, 150 people, everybody knows the old wise man. Everybody knows the doctor. Everybody knows the cobbler. Everybody knows the scientist. Everybody knows everyone of these 150 people that we don't need to sell ourselves all the time. Somebody don't have to come and try to like sell me something. I already know that you're a liar. I already know that I can trust you. Do you understand what I mean? Now, with the growth of like industrial like revolution and like cities and stuff like that, now we live in cities with millions of people. So there's no way we can know everyone. So like our brain had to adapt. So now I need to learn how to go into a job interview and sell myself in an hour. I don't have years of building a relationship in a town to sell myself that I'm trustworthy. You know what I mean? Things like that.
Totally, yeah.
So what ends up happening is a lot of charming, charismatic people who know how to fool other people to think that those people start thriving. So even when in the modern age, when TV starts growing and things like that, the only way, the ones that are successful are the one people who are controlling that, right? The TV producers, the agents, that you know, and you can only survive like that. Now, with the rise of social media, what happened was that old wise man in that small little town, that really smart scientist, that really trustworthy, kind person, whoever it is in that town, who can only 150 people know them, now they can reach the whole world because of social media. Now I can build that type of long-term relationship with people where you can really trust me, where you can really know that I'm the old wise man, or I'm the liar, I'm the scam artist, I'm the honest person. I'm whoever you are, the whole world can really know you if they want to. Yes, we all are going to live in this world of 150 people, because remember, our biology won't let us a lot more than 150. But in the old days, you were forced, that 150 people were forced on you depending on the town you were born. In the modern days, all of that disappeared. So there is no 150 people. You constantly have to sell yourself all the time. And we constantly became like this, like salesmen. And then now finally going back, I think that people are going to start to realize that you can't do that. You can't just go in and be charming and boom anymore. Mm. Like you can actually build deep relationship with people like in the old days through social media. And so there's going to be old wise men, there's going to be, but on the internet, right? And everybody's going to choose their 150. And based on that reputation, people are going to make shopping decisions. So right now, if you want to buy a camera, you might go to re-reviews and things like that, blah, blah, blah. But in the future, what's going to happen is you're going to have your set of 150 people that you trust, that like, you build relationship with.
Yeah. What are you using?
And exactly.
I don't think with twice and I'll just buy it. I think I bought like my lights, the one that you recommended. Exactly. Yeah.
And that's why it's so then I'm the personal brand, right? Because I'm guiding. So now either brands have to now start working with me because I influence that many people. So everybody's going to have a certain number of influence over a certain people, number of people. Mm-hmm. And yeah, this is what I mean by personal branding. Yeah.
So if I don't have a lot of starting influence,
if you're starting out,
like for myself, I don't have a personal branding website or anything, but I don't even know where to start, really. If I wanted to build
like
a little
persona.
I think
like what you're doing right now, I think the easiest is for, I think everyone can start a podcast. Everyone can have conversations. And once you have conversations, take clips from that and just start posting it out on TikTok, YouTube Shorts, and just start getting it out there. And this takes time. It might take 1 to 3 years, right? But what ends up happening is when you're constantly putting your stuff out there. Okay, so two things. Like I said before, like in the old days with the old wise men, what you're doing is, by constantly putting your content out there, over a long period of time, you're starting to build relationship, deeper, long relationship people, and that'll grow over time. Mm-hmm. But see, it takes time, right? Like you can't grow fast if you're trying to actually build a real relationship, right?
But even I'm very skeptical about building deep relationships on Instagram. So I feel like, oh, is anybody seeing it? Or so you get discouraged, but you're saying
is there somebody that you really follow their content?
I do. Like, yeah. There are
who's
many.
Your favorite content creator, for example?
It's changing all the time. But right these days, I'm really obsessed about this parenting coach called Dr. Mm-hmm. Becky Kennedy. And she's big on Instagram too.
For example, she's building a relationship with you right now. She might not know you exist, but you know everything about her. Do you understand what I mean?
Yeah.
And then it gets to, and that's how it works also in the news, right? Right now, there's so much fake news going on that I don't know who to trust. But there is a handful of people on the internet that I do trust.
Mm-hmm.
So every time something happens, I'm going to check what they say first. Do you understand what I mean?
Yeah. But I'm thinking, okay, I don't have a website. I don't have this. I don't have that. Oh, like I need to post on LinkedIn. Like I need to post on Instagram. And then I get overwhelmed and I don't do anything. In the same way, you were like, in an hour, you convinced me to start a podcast. And I think the next day I was like recording it from my car. What is, if I needed some pep talk, Monica?
That's what I mean. That's why I don't think you should think of it as, I'm going to be a content creator and I'm going to have a plan to create content. I think you should just think of it as I'm just going to do my thing. And then, you know how like Gary Vee always said, don't create, document. I'm just going to document and put it out there. And then what's going to happen is you're going to attract your people.
One thing that I feel like I don't like sharing the work that I'm doing for my clients. I just don't like sharing the work that I'm doing with my clients. What could I share maybe around
that? You're doing
that?
It right now, this podcast. So when you're having talk about like the written language, right? So there's a video, there's a written language, there's spoken language. So there's different way to deliver your story. And it's not just, people think that going on stage or let's say podcast, like us having a conversation is no different than, let's say, us being on TV and having a conversation or me writing a monologue and then making a video. No, these things are wildly different. Mm-hmm. For example, for this art form is called spoken conversation, right? Two things. It's spoken language, number one. If I'm on stage or like on camera just speaking monologue style, that's spoken language, which is what we're doing right now also. But we're also having a dialogue. So we're doing two things. Right. We're doing spoken language and we're also having a dialogue, which is also different, right? Now, if I'm giving a stage talk, I'm feeding off of the audience. Right, like depending on how the audience reacts, I might shift a little bit, right?
Totally.
And my energy is going to be different. And same thing in a dialogue based on this. We don't know where our conversation is going to go. It's a complete mystery, right? So what we're doing is this is documenting. And that's the beauty of spoken language rather than written language is when we're doing our communication through spoken language, our alert level is at a certain level. Our brains are like firing and it's going to connect some dots. And something might, you ever do that? Like you ever say something and you'll be like, holy shit, like, I don't know where that came from. Because it's putting you in that state and that's the art form, right? So right now, what we're doing is we're documenting this art form. And then you're going to take that and you're going to clip book and then put it out there. Things like that.
So, as a sharing, just not as a content piece, but more, oh, this is what happened.
Yeah.
Kind of.
And this is what I think, or this is my opinion.
This is what
I think. So I guess what I'm trying to do is you put as much as of yourself out there. And your goal is not to make content or have a message or anything like that. But your goal is to just to connect to people. Okay, I want to share this. This thing has been bothering me, so I want to let me talk about this. Let me talk this through with my friend. And then you put it out there. And then maybe within this 1 hour conversation, there's a little 60 second clip that's even more interesting. You put that on TikTok or something. So you constantly just put it all out there, right? The more the better. And people are going to start to watch it and they're going to, one, two people, three people, like little by little, people are going to start to watch it and it's going to start to attract the people that are interested in that topic. Right? And over time, what ends up happening is, just like I told you, storytelling was not even in the neighborhood of my thoughts before I went on Instagram. So when I went on Instagram, I put out all different kinds of, I took some clips where I'm talking to my employees, put it up there. Maybe if I'm in a sales call and there's something I said, I put it up there. I put quotes up there. I put like carousels up there. I just, whatever it is in my head, I just threw it all up there. And then you're going to see the reaction from people. Out of the 100 different things that you're interested in, that you talk about, every time you talk about this one thing, like people are reacting.
Interesting.
That means, and slowly that becomes more and more prominent. And that means this is how you find your audience, number one. Who are your audience? And what is your topic? What is your niche? And you think you know? Trust me, you have no idea. You think you know yourself?
Yeah, you're right.
I would have never, number one, thought that I enjoy teaching.
Really? You're such a natural teacher.
Yeah, but if you knew me 5 years ago, you would have, my mom was like shocked when I was like, what, son, you hated teaching when you were like growing up.
Interesting.
And storytelling would have been the furthest thing from I'm a very tech person, right? I never thought of myself as like a writer. Like I never thought of myself as a writer. Anything to do with writing, English or anything like that was my least favorite subject growing up. A lot of these things, I think that we don't know. We think we know ourselves really well. I actually think that social media this practice of putting yourself out there could also serve as almost a self-discovery process because you think you know who you are.
So I go back and forth from, I'm just going to do like everything to see what resonates with people. And then I also read and like something that resonates with me is Rick Rubin, like Morgan Housel. There's this also school of forget about people, just do what you like. And then just doing like creating for one person audiences like yourself. And I don't know, I'm like walking between these two. I'm just going to try a lot of things. But when I try in the mode of I'm trying and zero engagement, like zero, and I've been thinking about this for a long time, it's very discouraging. So it's I think those two like things, more stuff.
There's always, when I talk about the myth truth sandwich, right? So I think that there's always two separate advices, right? Some people will say, hey, just jump out of the plane and then learn how to build a parachute. Just jump in the water and then you'll learn how to swim, right? Just it's better to apologize. It's better to ask for forgiveness than to ask for permission, right? Just do it first and then mess. And so there's people like that that says, just be impatient. Just jump in first, right? And then on the other hand, people also say, be patient, right? You can't grow a business overnight. You can't grow Instagram overnight. Just it's all about patience, right? They're both correct. You have to be impatient and just like constantly be aggressive, but you also have to be super patient. So it's a dichotomy, right? Like you have to be super patient, but you also have to be impatient. Be impatient when you post every day, but be patient when you're like, it's going to take a long time of that. Mm-hmm. Before you see the results. So you have to do both. So that's the dichotomy, right? Mm-hmm. So in this case, yes, you have to do both. So do I put out the kind of content that I connect with that's really authentically me? I don't like without caring for audience? Yes. But do I also have to care about the audience and put... Yes.
A little bit yes, too. Yeah.
They're both yes. Because...
I know.
Because...
But, yeah.
Here's the thing. And I think this is like something, I don't know if this is 100% correct or not, but this feels right in my head. I also think that you need to understand whether you're an artist or you're an entrepreneur, because those are two very different things. Nowadays, people seem to connect the two and be like, oh, I'm a creative entrepreneur. But I think you need to decide that. Rick Rubin is an artist. He could care less how many albums he sells. Right? J.K. Rowling is an artist. When she was writing Harry Potter, she was homeless, right? She couldn't care. She didn't care less about like how many sells. Those are artists. And those people, they really don't care if they're homeless, right? And they go 100% for the art. But when you do that for some reason, and when you let yourself go, and when you truly let your art come out, there's going to be other humans out there that connect with it, and it is going to be a commercial success too in the future, right? And then there's an entrepreneur, and I think that's different. So even in storytelling, in anything, I think you have to make a decision. Is this art or is this what I consider design, right? But even in storytelling, right? When you watch War and Peace, right? When you watch this fictional literary works, those are art, right? And usually a lot of times in art, when you ask the author, what was that all about? Rick Rubin, right? If you ask Rick Rubin, he talks about this, Red Hot Chili Peppers, right? What was that song about? Even they don't know. Even the one who wrote it don't know. Maybe 10 years later after the song comes out, says, oh, that's what it was all about. You don't know. As an artist, you just let your art out of your body. I don't know what I'm saying. You just say it, right? Like Bob Dylan or whatever. That's what artists do. They just create this character and they just see what happens. Oh, where is this character going? And that's why when you read those stories, those art, very like masterpieces of art stories, you can't clearly tell who the protagonist and the antagonist are. Mm-hmm. I can see myself in the protagonist, but I can also see myself in the antagonist. And it's a very complex story, and it's very real. And that's why people resonate with it. Do you understand what I mean? But if I were to say, okay, what was the lesson of War and Peace? You can't tell me. Oh, what's the lesson in Hamlet? You can't tell me. Because there's no one single lesson. It's what came out of the artist. And that's what art is. You can't really explain art. And that's the beauty of art, is we're using this unexplainable thing that's illogical. We just let it out of us, whether it's music, through stories, through painting or whatever. And then I share it with the world and the world resonates with it. And that connection that it's being made, that's the beauty of art. Okay, on the other hand, if I'm doing storytelling for marketing, I have a clear purpose. I can't just let it out of me and see where this character goes. No, I already know what the ending is going to be. I already know that here's the hero's journey. Here's the old you. Here's the new you. This is what happens. This is what solved the problem. And I need to know exactly where it goes. And now that becomes, so that's the difference between, for example, like art and propaganda, right? And marketing is propaganda. So I think we all as a professional need to be clear on, are we an artist like Rick Rubin, or are we doing this for commercial reason? At Night Owl Nation, what I've figured out is that we have to do both. In small group meetings, in our own, we have to explore our stories. So we go and we explore our stories. Like when I was a child, like I did this and this happened, and why did they do that? Or I might even put myself in their shoes, and I just try to pull on the thread, see where is this going, right? I don't even know, right? No, I have no expectations. Why did I feel this way? When my mom did this, I should have been angry, but I was actually happy. Why? And then through this exploration, we're going to start to see, oh, that's why I did that, right? Kind of like when Rick Rubin talks about how Red Hot Chili Peppers, like, dream of Californication, like when they were talking about those notes, what does that mean? Like, why is that? They didn't even know. And then 10 years later, looking back, this, oh, that's what that song was about, right? So it's almost like we have to go through that stage on our own in small groups and things like that, where that story that happened to me, what was that all about? Let's explore. And once you figure it out, you cracked it, you reverse engineer it. Mm-hmm. Now, okay, like now let's turn it into a marketing story. But by then, it's already specific. I know exactly what the end goal is.
I love what you said. You just need to be really honest with yourself and decide if you want to be an artist. Because I think like I'm in some cases, I'm a full-on artist, and I know I don't care. Zero engagement, like I'm doing it just really for myself. But then I think in some cases, I'm tricking myself. I think like I'm pretending that I want to be an artist, but then secretly I'm expecting engagement and expecting stuff. So yeah, that's a great takeaway. Just decide what you want. And then it's okay if you want either or both, but you need to know what to expect. I think one of the things that I think you're really great at also is like copywriting. And as a fellow Korean person, like English not being my first language, and how did you become so good at copy? Like I know you've mentioned Neville, Medora, who have been like your greatest like copy mentors or copy teachers? Because I'm also trying to learn and it's really hard.
Yeah, so I got lucky because I got started. My first copywriting course was The Copy Cure with Murray Forleo and Laura Belgrade. And yeah, I got lucky because in that course, they talk about how everything should be conversational. So like one of the best tricks that I learned from Laura is when you write an email, like email newsletter or something like that, most people will open up and they'll say, everyone, like, I just wanted to... I think we have when we start writing, because throughout our K through 12 and college or whatever, we're almost brainwashed to write with a certain tone. So it's almost if I told you to write like a one-page essay and you wrote it, and I told you to read it and you read it, like it would not sound like you at all. It would sound like the academic version of you. And that's how we were wired. So I think every time we open up that Google Doc and we start writing, we open up whatever, WordPress or whatever, and we start writing, our tone of voice automatically switches to that in our brain. Mm-hmm. And then it comes out like that, right? One of the things that Laura told me is she calls it EFAP, email from a bestie. Go to Gmail, click compose, type in Monica Lim, like as if I'm writing an email to you, my friend. And say, hey, Monica, just write the email as you would write to Monica. And then replace Monica with first name, right? And your whole tone of voice changes. And you start to become more conversational. And you start to think of your audience as less of some academics, and you think of your audience as friends. That's like another thing, cool thing too, right? When I say to you, who's your audience? Who do you think of? Like visually, if I were to say, who is your audience visually, like if you were in a theater with your audience sitting there, how would you picture that? Mm-hmm. Do you see a bunch of academics? Mm-hmm. Do you see a bunch of kids? Do you see a bunch of like friends? When you think of the word audience, who do you think of, right? That makes a difference too. But for me, so that was like the start of my... That's when I started becoming interested, because Yeah, all the people that you mentioned, right? Obviously, I found out about all of them around that same time. But I found it really interesting that how like some of these copies are really interesting to read, and I noticed that they're very conversational and things like that. Yeah, so when I started, I took that course, I started doing like practicing copywriting on my own.
How did you practice on your own?
I'll just like rewrite copy. Mm-hmm. I guess for me, it was a little bit easier because I was already a web designer. So I would write some copy for my clients, like without charging them for some of the pages, like, stuff like that. But I wasn't really good at it. But so I kept doing that, which is actually the best way to learn something. If you want to learn anything, any kind of creative skills, like writing, design, things like that, even coding, the best way to learn it is to just copy, like literally copy, like word for word copy. And what ends up happening is when you're doing that, when you're copying, something happens in your brain where you start to notice things. Most of the big brands do this. Oh, I noticed that a lot of people like to use this word when they do this. Oh, I noticed that a lot of people, you start to notice certain patterns that works and that doesn't work. Oh, I noticed that every time they say it like this, it makes me more convinced. Do you understand what I mean? So the more you copy, the more you start to understand what works and what doesn't work. But more than anything, I think what we need to do is, for me, if I were to tell myself, the younger version of myself, some advice, copywriting has nothing to do with writing in terms of your use of words and grammar and things like that. And it has mostly to do with selling, right? I think of copywriting as more almost like this, right? It's like infomercial, like those infomercials on TV. That's like the sales, that's like the copywriting equivalent of if like a TV show was a book, infomercials are like copywriting. It's mostly about sales, learning how to sell, like using words. And the conversational piece, yeah, we just got to do a lot of unbrainwashing, because like throughout our whole education, like life, we've been brainwashed to write like academics. Like, I guess what we practice at Night Owl Nation is exactly that. We're trying to figure out, how do I convince someone? How do I convince you using your words, right? And that's like the whole myth. Like, the reason why I can't convince you is because you're all the way over here. I'm here. And you don't know this missing information that I know. That's why you're not convinced. So I gotta go meet you where you are, and then bring you over. So for example, if you're like, for example, I see this, a lot of people like will post on Instagram for like 100 days and then they'll quit. Nothing happens and they'll quit, right? And the reason is because it just seems like nothing's happening, right? But at that point, if I just went to them and like, you just gotta keep going, you gotta keep going, that person's just gonna be like, I don't believe you. Like, I just feel like every day I'm posting and I'm getting, but then if I went to them and I say, hey, like you probably feel like you've been posting every day 100 days. Spend an hour today, post 5 likes. Hour today, post 3 likes. You do that for 100 days. And tomorrow and today, you have to spend another 2 hours and you have to post it. And you know you're going to get 3 likes on it. And you know that's going to be frustrating. And that's why you're going to second guess yourself and be like, is this really worth it? Am I wasting my 2 hours every day to getting 3 likes? Is this worth it? Is this worth it? That's the reason why it's like the next day I'm going to be like, I'm just going to skip today.
Right.
It's just 3 likes.
Yeah.
It's not going to make a difference. And right. Do you feel like that? Here's the thing. The reason why you feel like that is because you, in your head, you expect your growth to be like this. Three likes, 4 likes, 5 likes, 6 likes, you know, you expect your growth to be like this, and you've been posting for 100 days and you're not seeing it. And that's why, right?
One like specific example, like I consume a lot of podcasts, and podcasts are like 2, 3, 4 hours long, right? So I think people don't have time for all of them, but there are like so many awesome nuggets on podcasts, and especially ones that I listen to because I like long form, deep. So I like finding things from there. And I'm like, oh, these are so good. I want to share them. And I was trying to play around with Canva and, oh, this looks great. Let's post it. And then crickets. Maybe it doesn't have to even nice. Like, what would be like a fast way of me sharing, like curating things that I like, that you've seen? Just do this. and as a way to try and test and feel a little bit good about myself. I don't care about the low engagement.
So are you saying that
it took so long?
You want to curate other people's podcasts? Is that what you're trying to say?
Going back to what am I already doing? And I read a lot and I listen to a lot of podcasts. So I just want to share like the good bits, the interesting mm-hmm. things that I find mm-hmm. that I feel like other people don't see those the
like
same interesting things.
Review.
Like it could be from a podcast. So for example, Rick Rubin interviewed Adam Mosseri from Instagram, and there were like some really interesting bits there, even about like team management. About so I want to like so I just put if I create a nice quote template from Canva mm-hmm. and I customize it and it looks mm-hmm. great. Mm-hmm. But then like crickets. So I wonder if there is another way of doing it fast. So I
well,
don't
we'll
spend
talk about
too much
that.
Time.
And let me finish my thoughts from before and then I'll answer that question. So you see, now that I told you, I know how you feel. You posted, spent 2 hours, boom, cricket, right? Like now that I told you that, remember, I have to meet you where you are, right? You're like, okay, yeah, now Sun gets me. This guy gets me. He understands where I'm coming from. And then if I said, well, that what's happening here is you think that it's going to be like this. And at some point, maybe after a month, maybe you thought you'd get 5 downloads. And then maybe after 6 weeks, you thought you were going to get 10 downloads. And then after, and you thought it was like, that's how you thought it was going to go up. But after 100 days, you're still at 3 downloads. So it's going to feel like you're walking blindfolded. You don't know where you're going and you don't even know if you're going in the right direction. And it's going to you're going to feel like you're just wasting time. So I go to the reason why most people feel that way is because when they don't see progress for 100 days, they feel like nothing is happening, right? That they're just wasting time, right? The truth is, the way that Instagram social media actually works is if I look at all of my clients, Mel Robbins, Gabby Bernstein, Jay Shetty, all of those people. In the beginning, you need opportunities. You need leaps, okay? And it's like how, like in real life, right? And in real life, you got to catch those breaks. So how it actually works is you're going to have nothing for a long time. And then out of nowhere, you're going to go, boop, and then nothing. And then boop. But then those spikes, if you just have 3 or 4 spikes in a period of a year, that's when what's going to take off. Like if you look at Mel Robbins, like her TEDx talk was one of those things, right? All of a sudden her TEDx talk goes viral and then boom, who's this Mel Robbins? And then all of a sudden one of her interviews with Tom Bilyeu goes viral. But some of her other interviews don't, right? Because most of them are not going to do well. But once in a while there's a gem that's going to do well that you can't expect. So the more you keep putting out there, the better it is. Because you can't, do you understand what I mean? Mm-hmm. Because it's not like this. It's more like this. Boop. It's not a curve. Right. It's a stairs. Some people get extremely lucky, like Mr. Beast and that tech review guy, right? Marcus Brownlee. Both of those people, two of the biggest YouTube channels on YouTube, their first video they ever posted went viral, okay? And what happens is when one of your posts goes viral, you get this rush of dopamine that like you can't just explain to somebody who's never gone viral before. Somebody who's never experienced that, you can't explain that, right? But once you've experienced that once, you keep trying again until to experience that again. But if you've never experienced that before, like you just don't even know what that feels like, right? Mm-hmm. So some people got lucky. Their first post, they've experienced it. So if you look at Mr. Beast, his first video was like, book, and then it went down nothing for years. And then it slowly started to build up, right? But the reason why he was able to stick it out for years with no views is because he's already experienced that rush. He'll do anything to get that again, right? Same thing with Marcus Brownlee. He's experienced that rush. But if you've never experienced it, you're going to give up after a month mm-hmm. because you don't know what that feels like.
I give up after one post. Oh, this is not worth it. But you're right. I think I need to find a way of not putting too much effort. It's not even like art. My art is
your
to
thing
put
is
it out
not
there.
Gonna. Oh yeah. So your thing is not has nothing to do with how pretty it is, mm-hmm. the quality of it is, what it is, like you asked me, how can you document and not create it? Perfect. If you already love listening to podcasts, if you already love listening to reading blogs and things like that, reading books, then I love going to those YouTube channels where somebody would do like a summary of something for me, right? So I would actually love that. If every day I get an email or every week I get an email with the biggest podcast episodes of that week, right? You know, here's an episode with Rick Rubin, right? Here's an episode with Jay Shetty. Here are the top 5 biggest episodes that went live. These are the top 5 big interviews that went live this week, right? And here's the recap, right? Here.
Oh man, you know, that gives me anxiety. That feels like work. So I'm like, ugh.
You say you're already doing
it. I see. That's what you're saying that's what people want. And in my case, like there is resistance I can feel.
What's the part you
doing
enjoy?
The part that I enjoy from that particular thing is, oh, this is so good. I want people to know about this too. Like that kind of like feeling that I'm like, oh, like I want, this is so cool. I want more people to read this or to like be aware of this little bit of information that I came across. But it's not like carefully threaded with other stuff. It's not like a polished summary, but it's just I'm taking screen grabs of while I'm listening to the podcast, and you have the timestamp, and then it's this little bit on X topic.
No, that's exactly what I'm thinking. I'm thinking like just an email. Because for me, it doesn't really matter how beautiful it looks, how organized it is. I don't care, right? But let's say I trust Monica so much. I trust Monica's taste. Monica always picks out like the most interesting stuff on the internet. And I trust, you're like a curator, right? Then what I would care about is like getting an email from you every week that says, okay, here are the podcasts I listened to this week. But I want it written in a way where if your passion is you want to spread the best parts of the content that you find on the internet for everyone else to see, then you have to format it in a way that people would do that, right? Mm-hmm. If you're truly passionate about sharing your message, right? And so this is where it comes down to before the thing about, do I do what I care about or do I care about the audience? Here's the thing. Mm-hmm. If you really care about the audience, it actually becomes the same thing. Because for you, that's why you need to really be honest with yourself on what is it that I truly care about, right? Mm-hmm. For me, I'm like you. I love giving some information to some people who didn't know it and then like it impacting their life and getting validation
from
it.
Same.
So I have to be, if I don't have that feedback loop, then at some point I'm going to give up.
Same.
Because if I don't see that what I'm doing is helping anyone, right? So you're going to have to create some sort of a process where you can do that, right? Mm-hmm. But if you truly care about that, if you truly care about making a difference, right? Wouldn't you also care about how do I format this email in a way that people are actually going to want to read it? That's part of it, right? Because more people read it. How do I get it in a way that this person will share it with other people? So you really need to be hyper clear on what is it exactly selfishly that you want out of this thing. And then how do I make that align with selfishly what the audience wants to get out of it? Because at the end of the day, so you have to find that common ground. It's like the Venn diagram, right? This is what you want. This is what your audience want. You have to find that middle thing where your passion intersects their interest.
Right. Oh, that's, you're leaving me with just things to just process, think about, and just be really honest with. Mm-hmm. It's just, oh, you know, on top of my kind of like full-time job, like doing this feels like a lot. What is like a small thing that I could do that does not feel like so much work? So I'm trying to think about the smallest piece that I can do to practice my art or whatever. Because right now I'm like stuck in wanting to do it, but then not doing it and feeling frustrated because I'm not doing what I want to do, but I'm not doing.
What I would say is first try to figure out, like, try to figure out like little signals from the past. What were the moments in the past from your content creation, all the content creation that you've done before? Which were the most fulfilling moments for you?
For me. Interesting.
Right? And write them all down. Okay, like when I did an IG live. When I did an IG live with this person. Oh, when this person DM'd me and did this. Or when I posted this and somebody commented. Be very specific. So make a list of it. And then try to get a signal. Try to get a pulse on what's the thing that really drives me. Because those things, those moments, those are a little hint that it's trying to pull you into something. That's your calling, right?
So it's more about like not engagement, but when was I fulfilled? When was I happy?
Because you need to, that needs to be built into the feedback loop. Otherwise, you're not going to do it. Like, if you, right now you say, oh, I don't like making content, but I guarantee you, that if you're posting a content and every day you post it and then 20 people reply in the comments and be like, gosh, I love the part about this. Oh my gosh, I love this. Do you recommend? Like, they're asking questions and things like that. And you can actually see that it's helping people. Then I guarantee you're going to do it again because there's that feedback. Like, you're getting a feedback loop, right? But if you're posting every day and there's zero feedback loop, right. Then you're not going to do it, right?
I know. Well, you know, going back with that, I just feel like the sharing, the curating thing, that I want to be known as this person with decent taste in content or knowledge. And I just, before I give up, I just feel like I have not given it the really good try. Like, I'm like, oh, like this method doesn't work. But maybe,
and that could be,
right. It's like a bad thing.
That could be a calling too. Like the way you want to present it, or the way you want to set it up in a way that it works. Like that in itself could be a calling too, right? But all I'm saying is throughout your day, everything that you do, every time you're like, oh, that really made me feel good. Or just keep track of those moments. And then try to see what do they all have in common.
Interesting, yeah. Most of those things happen on Twitter because that's like the platform I feel more comfortable and more like home. But I insist on, I want to figure out Instagram. I want to get better at Instagram. So it's like, it's just,
I don't think it's like it's platform based. I think what you should do is you should take clips from your podcast and put it on Instagram, put it on Twitter, put little quotes from things that you say, put it on. So like it shouldn't be platform specific. Do you know what I mean? You're just putting content out there. Yeah,
you create so many clips. And the last question, and then I think we're out of time, but you are so prolific with content. How do you manage the content creation? Are you using like AI tools? Are you like, do you have a lot of contractors? Do you do it yourself?
No, I have video editors. So like right now I have video editors, so they'll edit it. But if I didn't, I'll probably use some sort of an AI tool for now. But again, getting started, before you were saying something about, I do want to be known as the curator of OVA. That's actually a little bit of a red flag for me, because what I tell people always is don't focus on who you want to be. Because most likely, that person, once you become that person, you're going to hate it.
Interesting. So don't,
So don't think about who you want to be. Think about what your ideal day is. Like, what do you want to be doing day to day? What in your life, right?
Yeah.
It doesn't matter who you want to be, because who you want to be has nothing to do with the life that you want to live. Right. We might look at, because you don't, a lot of people don't see that. They might look at Gary Vee and be like, oh, I want to be like Gary Vee. But what they don't understand is like Gary Vee has to deal with the stress and the anxiety of, I have a $12 million payroll tomorrow, and we only have $11 million in the bank, and I have to go call the bank, and I've tried to get a $2 million withdrawal. If that doesn't happen, then this is like 100 of those problems every single day, all the time, 24/7. Can you deal with that anxiety? Do you know? So do you, are you sure you want to be Gary Vee? So with all of these people, like a lot of people might say, I want to be like that. I want to be like this. I want to be a curator. I want to be a chef. What they don't see is they don't see the, they only see the tip of the iceberg, and they don't see the real what's underneath the surface, right? What I always say is, instead of trying to say I want to be this and try to work there towards that, because once you get there, you're going to be like, my life is miserable. Instead of that, focus on what do you want to do day to day, and then just do that, and then see what person you become from that.
Interesting. That's brilliant. And I think that's a great way to wrap this conversation, just to just really focus on what you want to do and then see who you become. I love that.
Yeah.
Son, I know that you've been doing Night Owl Nation for a while. If you want to just share a couple things about what Night Owl Nation is about, how it's formatted, and what are you learning about that?
Yeah, Night Owl Nation is a community where people, entrepreneurs, creators, we come together and we practice our storytelling. I believe that everything is about practice. Not, you can learn stuff, but at the end of the day, I think practice is where most people fail, because that's when you really learn. So we're all about practicing storytelling.
Awesome. And where do they need to go to learn more about Night Owl Nation?
For Night Owl Nation, you can go to nightowlnation.com, or you can check out my Instagram. Awesome. Sun.yi.
Sun, this was so fun. Thank you for coming.
Thanks for having me, Monica. It was fun.
Yeah. This was awesome.